House. I trust that somebody's already made you feel welcome. If you are one of the visitors this morning, I pray somebody's already shaken your hand and made you feel like part of us and one of us. It's so good to see some that's not been here for a little while back with us. Tam, good to have your granddaughter and her friend with us. And there's some, though, that's pronounced kind of absent today. And Miss Teresa, I hope you'll let Brother J.D. and Miss Waylene know that we miss them when they're not here. They're just slowing down a little bit. I spoke to them on the phone the other day. They said they're slowing down a little bit. But let's pray for those like Miss May and Stella and those that can't be here. Just pray for all the sick and shut in. But do let give somebody a call. Like Brother Potts, he's not here. He had a little fall this week. And like I said, J.D., Waylene, others, just let them know you still care about them and that you love them. The book of Exodus this morning, Exodus chapter number 3. And I want to just I want the Lord to help us this morning. There's somebody here today that's going to be drawn. I don't know how they're going to be drawn, if it's to salvation or drawn to a work or what, but God doesn't send these messages such as this except that they be for a purpose. So I trust that God's got something for each and every one of us. It's just so good to be here today. All God's children together could say amen. He's been good. Amen. He's been so good to us. I turned around and I heard Brother Steve Fall, the one that would ask me, don't never call me publicly to do anything. I've watched him after salvation. I've watched him become the Sunday school superintendent or assistant Sunday school superintendent. I watched him. I've heard him testify on all this. I heard him up in the choir back there. He said, amen. And I said, wow, what was that? I said, show Varun how to do that. Varun said, amen. And I said, well, good gracious, somebody's at least listening. Do listen today. Help the preacher preach. And if I hit on something that hurts you, then say, oh, me. If I hit on something that helps you, then say amen. But we're in the third chapter of the book of Exodus even now. And I'll probably read about 6 verses of scripture. If you're in Exodus 3, you know predominantly we're talking about Moses. And when you look at Moses, you have to think of one of the great men of the Bible because of the fact that he made it to Hebrews chapter number 11. And when you've got a mention in 11 in Hebrews, then you're probably one of those that had great faith or had displayed great faith. I believe that all of us are equal in the sight of God, but he sure used some people. And Moses is one of them that he used as a deliverer. And I believe that in some small way he's using myself. And I truly want him to use you. I want you to be used. I want you to surrender. I want you to be saved. I want you to be drawn to him. Because truly, man, there's nothing like serving God. It rivals nothing. Being a child of God, there's nothing to even really compare it to. People in a modern day vernacular say you got to compare apples and apples. You can't compare apples and oranges. But what can you really, honestly, what can you really equate or compare your Christian experience to? There's nothing to compare salvation to, because it's greater than anything that you've ever had. If you're saved by God's grace, that's the greatest thing. Because with it come other things like peace and joy everlasting. And you said, are you always full of joy? I try to be, but bless God, whenever I'm a little bit down, I can still draw water from the wells of salvation, because that's where my joy comes from. But anyway, there's nothing to compare it to. Let's just let God help us today. We're talking about Moses, and I'll read those 6 verses and I'll have you seated. The Bible says in Exodus chapter number 3, and we'll pick up the reading of verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I asked Brother Varun Patel to bless us in the scripture reading, and then you may be seated, Brother Varun. Amen. Most of us in Wilkes County, North Carolina, at some point in time has heard the story of Moses. If there's somebody here today, I cannot tell you the 120-year, three different 40-year periods of the life of Moses all in one singular message. I just can't do that. But you know that Moses was placed in the Nile in a basket, and that how that he was then raised in Pharaoh's kingship and raised by in royalty, and he was even known as the Prince of Egypt. And but here we find him, and he's no longer in the palace. He's no longer under the kingship, and we just find him. He's now murdered an Egyptian, and we find him on the backside of the desert, keeping the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro. And there he is on the backside of the desert, and there he meets a burning bush that was not consumed. But let me just say today, if I were to title the message today, is that we all need a burning bush experience. We all need one of those moments in our lives. But before Moses had ever met the burning bush, before God had ever spoken to him, before he ever penned down the first five books of the Bible, and you know those are attributable unto the author of God, but they were penned down by the man named Moses. You've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the books of the Torah, the books of the law. Those are all attributable unto this man by the name of Moses. But before, bless God, there was the five books of the Bible. Before there was a burning fire that led them by night and a cloud during the day. Before there was a Red Sea crossing. Before all of this ever took place. Before any of that, before Moses ever saw the burning bush, bless God, there, he was just nothing more than just a common man. The same as Varun Patel, I was, the same as you are. But bless God, Moses had an encounter. And then, bless God, when he saw the burning bush, bless God, things started to turn around. Bless God, he started to see things a little bit differently. And I want you to see this. Before Moses had that burning bush experience, he had a shepherd's rod in his hand, did he not? Was he not keeping the sheep of his father? But he, even before the burning bush, he had a rod. But that rod was nothing until God showed him the burning bush. That rod meant nothing to him. Those books of the Bible would not be penned until after he had an encounter with God. The things that God did later on in Moses' life, they would not have been done had Moses not had an encounter right here at Horeb, which would later be called Mount Sinai. But let me just tell you this today. You might be sitting here today and you say, well, God can't use me. You'd be surprised who God might use. You said, well, use the educated of this world. Bless God, I know people and I know preachers that had like a third or a fifth grade education. We sat under many of them preaching growing up. They couldn't tell you one thing from another when it comes down to reading the words off the paper. But bless God, there was a touch of God on their life, and God used them in a great way to win many souls into his kingdom. So let me just help you today to understand that you need a burning bush in your life. You need one of those experiences. You need to meet God somewhere and do business with him. Bless God, before Moses ever got water out of a rock, bless God, he saw the burning bush. Before Moses was buried on the mountain, his bones were left there, he saw the burning bush. He had an encounter with God. So I want you to think about this today. Moses, in chapter number 3 and verse number 3, he said that the angel, and Moses said, I will now turn. Now let's go back and get verse number 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. You do realize in the Word of God that different places in the Word of God, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. You can read it for yourself in Deuteronomy chapter number 4, in verse number 24. It said, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Deuteronomy 9:3 says, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them and shall bring them down before thy face. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 29, it says, for our God is a consuming fire. So I'm going to be honest with you today. If I'm talking to a bush and that bush is on fire and there's flames coming out of that, my little feeble mind is going to look for the leaves to burn off of it. I'm going to look for it for just a few minutes to be a pile of ash, because even Moses, he wrote those two times in the book of Deuteronomy, and then we see the writer of the book of Hebrews pick it up and say that our God is a consuming fire. That's something else to see. You don't see burning bushes every day, and you won't have an encounter with God every day. Bless God, once in a while though, Brother John, God will come by and he'll speak to you. It might be as a matter of salvation. It might be a matter of work or servitude for him. But he's got to work for for us to do. He's got something for each and every one of us to do. And bless God, I want you today to have an encounter with God the same as Moses did at this burning bush. I want you to have that. I'd like to have them every day, but BJ, I don't meet God every day in a burning bush. I don't have those grand revelations that that Moses had here every single day, but boy, I'd like to. I don't have them every day, Brother Tim, but boy, I sure wish I could. You said you don't live close enough to God if you don't have these burning bush moments every day. Let me tell you, I don't have them every day. When's the last time you had one? When's the last time you had some grand revelation of a thrice holy God coming into your life, moving on your heart, doing a work for you and telling you to do this or do that? Maybe he was drawing you to repentance and you wouldn't repent. Maybe he was calling you unto salvation and you wouldn't come. Maybe he's calling you to a greater work and you won't surrender. Let me tell you, God is still doing these things today. He don't have a bush, but he's speaking to us from his word. So Moses, in verse number 3, the Bible said that Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why this bush is not burnt? Pretty amazing. He did what the rest of us would do. If he's a consuming fire, why is that burned? Why is that bush not burned up? But I want you to see today, he wasn't looking for God. He's looking for the bush. He's not listening to God. He's more listening to what's going on around him and watching what's going on around him. I'm afraid that sometimes, bless God, we come to the local house of God and we come into God's place, and rather than looking for God, we're looking to see what somebody's wearing. We're looking to see what this one's doing, what that one's doing. Brother John, you go back through there right now. I could probably go back through there right now and find at least 4, maybe 5, and maybe more that's got their cell phone out, doodling and Facebooking and doing this and doing that. And I'm telling you, you come to church house, but you're not coming here to see a burning bush. You're not coming here. You're coming here out of a sense of obligation and a sense of duty, rather than coming here to hear from God and what God's got for you to do. A lot of us don't want to do anymore for God. And if God come to you and said, I want you to do this, it would scare us to death to think that God's got a challenge for us. God's got a work for us to do. Many people today are not. They just come in to see who's here and what they're doing. And a lot of you today is already thinking about where they're going to eat. Man, are we going to get out of here in time to beat the Methodists? Are we going to get out of here in time to do this? Let me tell you, how would it be for just a little while? That's kind of, if we come in here and said, God, we're here today and we're in your presence, God. Would you have one of those movements? Would you show me something, God, out of the scriptures? Would you show me by divine revelation of a thrice holy God what you're trying to say to me today? God, I want to hear from you today. How would that be if that's the way and the attitude we come in? Verse number 3 said, Moses said, he didn't say, I'm looking for God. Look what it said. Moses said in verse number 3, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Not turning to see God or to see if God is there. Not turning to see what's going on, but to see why the bush is not burnt. Now, I didn't make that up. That's the latter part of verse number 3. I will turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. I'm going to give you some things really quickly to try to help us today. The story of Moses. I mean, a Red Sea. Water rolled up on either side. Chariots are clamoring behind you. You got 1.5 million, maybe as many as 2 million Jews leaving Egypt. And they've got a mountain and a desert and a sea. And they're going to go through, go past. Or they're going to get caught by Pharaoh's army. And he's got that common rod in his hand. He's probably reached over there to the craggy rocks and took that crooked staff and picked up one of Jethro's sheep by the neck. He probably did. He probably just looped that thing around one of those sheep that got over there into the bramble, the bulrushes, and got a little too far out. He just flipped the rod around and used the staff into that thing to pick one of them sheep back up and get it back safely into the fold. He might have taken one of those crooked staffs, and instead of using the crooked end, use the other one to go smite one of them on the leg to keep her from getting too far out and getting it wayward. But not this day. Brother Grant, he's got an army coming behind him. I'm talking about they're narrowing in. Defeat seems obvious. It seems imminent even. God says, what have you got? What's that in your hand? Now I'm paraphrasing. Go read the whole story for yourself. And Moses said, I've got this rod. Man, wouldn't you like to have one of those? I sent somebody here a message the other day of Benny Hinn's coat. Good land. Google Benny Hinn's magic jacket. Tell him he was waving that thing. There was the people falling over. They were falling back. Everybody that come by that way, I'm being honest with you. It was like he had rolled quarters in the pocket and was catching them in the temple. Everybody that come by like that fell over except the cameraman. I don't understand it. Why didn't he, if it's helping everybody, then why didn't that man film and why didn't he just fall out? That's just a question. I don't understand. Maybe it's not for me to know why he didn't fall out. And maybe I'm like a lot of us is weak of faith. But God asked Moses, what you got, Moses? He said, I got a rod. He says, stretch that thing out. Well, God, there's nothing special about that rod. But God is the rod. God is the use. God is the purpose. God is the divine intervention. There's nothing important about this bush. There's nothing spectacular about that bush. That bush is not made out of some type of a polymer or some type of a thing that would burn and burn and burn and burn and burn and never be consumed. There's nothing special about that bush. But man, there's something special about that God that was speaking to him out of it. I don't know if we're going to help y'all or not today, but I want to. Plague after plague after plague. I'm not letting them go. I'm not letting them go. I'm not letting them go. Here's old Moses right in there in the middle, raised up in that. I believe he knew the workings of the inner kingship. He knew the Pharaoh personally. He was raised. He was plucked out and drawn. He was called the Prince of Egypt. He knew what was going to take to break Pharaoh's heart. He couldn't do that, Brother Scott, except that he first had a burning bush experience. Keep reading with me. When Moses turned aside to see what was going on, the Bible said in verse number 3, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And I want you to see what, keep it in context. And when the Lord saw that he, being Moses, turned aside. Are y'all still with me? That's verse 4. Moses turned aside in verse 3. And then in verse number 4, the Bible said that the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. And God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He didn't say, hey, you. He didn't say, hey, you out there in the backside of the desert. Hey, what are you doing on the pew of Calvary Baptist Church? No, he speaks to us. Whenever Mary come to the tomb, supposing that she was speaking to the gardener, she's asking the hard question. What have they done with my Lord? What have they done with my Savior? They put him here. They rolled a stone in front of it. And but God, we've got all these spices and ointments that we brought aforetime. We're going to come in and help to keep down the stench and odor of his decaying body. Brother, where have you put him? And she said, Mary. What'd she say, Brother John? She said, Rabboni, or Master. Bless God, it was whenever he spoke her name. And bless God, that's the way it is with other great men of God. Abram, do thy son no harm. Don't kill Isaac. Bless God, I'm glad that he comes to you and says, Varun, Preston, Mark. He's calling us by name. He don't say, hey, you, what are you doing? He calls us uniquely. He calls us by our name. And there's no doubt whenever he's calling me to salvation that night, he wasn't calling somebody in the other part of the church house. He was calling me. Thanks be unto God that I responded. Well, Moses is no longer in the palace. He's no longer surrounded by prestige. He's no longer surrounded by popularity or some kind of prominence. He's a nobody on the backside of the desert. You're a nobody. And that's how some people will get. They'll try to get to a place of anonymity. They get to a place where nobody knows me. Nobody knows that I'm fleeing from God. Nobody knows what I'm dealing with and being called to. Nobody knows the greater purpose that God's doing in my life. So what I'll do is I'll just slip around out here on the outskirts where nobody really knows my name. For 40 years, he grew up in that. Now he's delivered. This is the second 40 years. Brother, we go right through the 4 stages of Moses' life. And some of us are going through stage after stage of life and never acknowledging that God's got his hand on us in all stages. You said God had his hand on him in that early stage? You better believe he did. That's why the Pharaoh's daughter plucked him out. But he got to be nursed and raised by who? His own mama. That was all the providential hand of God. Through the power and the workings of God, God was all over this man by the name of Moses. So he's no longer in the palace. He's no longer being associated with all that stuff. Now he's on the backside of a desert, alone, seemingly just kind of going through the motions. And isn't that what we're doing? Let's just be honest with ourselves. Isn't that what we're doing? Kind of just going through the motions. Kind of just live and let live. Brother John used the term in our Sunday school, we're living the dream. We're just living it up. We're just going through the motions. We're daily going through our routines. And how many of you got up this morning and said, I want an encounter with God? How many of you woke up this morning and said, boy, I'd like to see God today? How many of us woke up today and said, man, I'd like to have a burning bush experience? Moses didn't do it either. Moses didn't do it either, Brother Scott. Very few of us wake up and say, man, I'd like to have an encounter with God today. Man, I wish God would show up. Man, I wish God would do a work in my heart. I wish He'd call me to a higher purpose. Boy, I wish He'd put His touch on me. I wish He'd give me a rod. I wish He'd give me, but Scott, He has given you a rod. He calls it the sword of the Spirit. And it's the Word of God. He's given us the tools and He's armed us. But I think we just kind of go through the motions. I'm not sure we're looking for God in the ways that we should be looking for Him. Like I said, I want to give you three or four quick things and then we'll go home. There's no doubt in my mind that the people, and you could go back into chapter number 2. Go back over into 2 just a minute. It'll kind of give you a little precursor to what I'm going to preach on here for just a minute. That was the introduction. Y'all still good? I'm honest. That was your introduction. I ain't got to the message yet. Chapter 2. In verse number 10 said the child grew. She brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren. And he looked on their burdens. He's speaking of his brethren. He's speaking of the kindred and acquaintances of the Jews. But he sees an Egyptian. He spied an Egyptian smiting or beating one of his brethren. It said beating in Hebrew. The latter part says one of his brethren. And he looked this way. The Bible said then he looked that way. That's what the scripture, I'm not making it up. Look, he said he looked this way and then he looked that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. And hid him in the sand. So he done killed a man now and buried him. Ain't nobody looking. He ain't gonna beat my brother. I'll take care of my own. He ain't gonna do that. But the Bible said when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together and said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? In other words, you're an Egyptian. Moses, you're an Egyptian. Why'd you kill another Egyptian? Look with me. He said, why'd you kill thy fellow? He said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? This is the same man making the statement. Intended thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And it was known because the next verse said that now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. They still think Moses is an Egyptian. They had not recognized him as one being plucked out of the water as one of the Hebrews. He said unto his daughters, where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, And she bore him a son and called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in the land. And then it said, and it came to process of time that the king of Israel died. The children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel. And God had respect unto them, which brings us to our earlier reading. And Moses kept the flock of his father. So today I want to help us for just a little bit today. And I want to see what was going on in Moses' heart. I want you to see what's going on in BJ's heart. I want you to see what's going on in Mark's heart. I want you to see what's going on in your heart today. I want you to see what God's doing. I want you to have one of those experiences today other than just coming to church, listening to the choir sing, listening to whoever opened the Sunday school, listening to the message, and then going home and never being changed. It's happening every week. I promise you, it happens every week. The same as I told you, everybody fell over from the passing of Benny Hinn's jacket except the cameraman. The cameraman's just recording it all. Why? He's selling videos. He's making money. He's doing the things to popularize the preacher that's out fleecing the flock. Why did everybody that touched Jesus, whenever they were thronging him with the little lady with the issue of blood, why did they all not get touched? They were all bumping into him because they didn't come with faith. So I want to help you today if the Lord will help us. We should want... Let me tell you, there's no doubt in my mind, when Moses was out there on the backside of the desert, don't you think in his mind that he went back to his brother? Brother Tammy is still worried about him because the Bible said that he saw an Egyptian beating or smiting one of his brothers. So what did he do? He killed him. So Moses is out there on the backside of the desert, keeping the sheep of his father. And there's no doubt in my mind, Miss Dot, that God has got Moses' heart in preparation for greater things that are about to come. Because when he gets down to this thought process, he's no doubt thinking about, man, I've got people back there that's being abused by those Egyptians. I've got people down there that are under the taskmaster's rule. I've got people down there that would love to be delivered. But it's just not happened. How many of us today have got people that are still under the taskmaster's rule? They're in your family. They're in my family. Are you concerned or do you even care that Satan's got them in bondage? If you care, maybe a burning bush experience would drive you to your knees in prayer and intercession on their behalf. That Brother Amos, you might say, I've got to do something for them. I've got to help them. Moses is not looking for God, but God was looking for Moses in this passage of Scripture. So I want you to see in verse number 2, the Bible said, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Verse number 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why this bush is not burned. The first thing I want you to see is this, that Moses is more concerned with the mechanics of the bush than he is about a move of God. He's more concerned about, why is that bush not burned up? Why is that thing not an ash heap right now? Some of you are more concerned about the mechanics in the local Baptist church house, of making sure the choir sounds perfect, making sure everybody's pitch perfect, making sure that this gets done and that gets done. Now, I'm not against decency and orderliness in the church house, because the Bible said to let all things be done decent and in order. Is that right or is that wrong? I bless God, but we get so concerned with the mechanics of it, Brother John, making sure that this is perfect and that's perfect and everything's just got to be just perfect in every wit and way. God's more concerned about his move within the hearts of his children than he is about the mechanics of a place being proper or right. I'm being honest with you today. I feel it in my heart that in the latter day, people are wanting to move away from what I'm doing right now. I feel that. I feel that people are wanting to move away from preaching. People now want an orator. They want a speaker. You'll see it on the signs that used to say, Brother so-and-so, preacher so-and-so in revival. Now it's speaker so-and-so is now running the revival. Brother Scott, I hope and pray to God that we never get to a place where we just have to have a speaker up here. Now, I'm not against speaking, and that's what I'm doing right now. But bless God, it said that it pleased God to save them which are lost, to save them which are perishing, to save them which are dying and going to hell by the foolishness of speaking, by the foolishness of a great orator. Now, the Bible said that Paul himself said, I come not unto you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but he said, this is the way I come. How did he come, Brother John? He said, I come in the power, in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the way that Moses would go down to Pharaoh. He said, who can I tell? I can't speak. I can't speak right. I don't even know what to say. And moreover, who am I going to say sent me? I am. Okay. Well, that helped a lot. Tell him that you met one in the midst of a bush. Tell him that you met me in the backside, in the quiet places, in the recesses of your heart and mind. You met me. That's what God's saying. You're back there on the fringe. You're back there, like I said, in total anonymity. Nobody knows you. Nobody's going to bother you where you're hid out. Nobody's going to get you where you're at. But the Bible said, Moses turned to see, and God saw him turn. Is that right or wrong? That's verse 4. Moses turned to see. Like I said, he's more concerned with what's going on with the bush. Why is this thing not burned up? The Bible said that the bush was burned, but it was not consumed. I just give you no fewer than 3 scriptures that God is a consuming fire. He's a purifier. Man, don't we need the fire in the local church? Fire's warmth. How many of you already cranked your heat up already this year at least once? Don't lie to me. Some of y'all frozen chosen. Our heat's kicked on a time or two. We got it set on like 68 or 70. It's kicked on. That's where it burns off all those stink bugs. It's crawled up in your air ducts. You smell it for a few minutes. You're like, what is that? Then you're, oh, it's just the heat kicked on for the first time this year. Right? Man, fire provides us with what we need as far as warmth. Fire provides us with what we need as far as light. You said it does not. Let that big ball of fire go out in the sky and see how you like it. Fire provides energy. You said fire's not energy, preacher. Take the fire out of the locomotive and watch it sit on the track. Go up to Tweetsie. That thing's a belching out black smoke, hard as it can go. Why? Because they got a fire down in the gusset. They got a fire in the belly of that thing. It's creating energy. But most of us are just, we're more consumed with the mechanics of it all than we are really seeing God. We move beyond that. I hope and pray that you don't just focus on how I preach. And I'm not pointing you out, miss. I ain't even going to call your name. I keep this here for you guys' protection, okay? We were talking about people and their mannerisms while they preached the other day. And Miss Laura said, you've got your own mannerisms. I said, what? I didn't realize I had mannerisms. She said, you and that handkerchief. She said, you're always doing this. I do that for y'all, okay? True story. Have you ever seen anybody preaching and they get that white right in here? Don't you want to tell them, honestly, while they're preaching, you've got it. They look like a rabid dog foaming at the mouth, and they got that little right in there. And the next thing you know, they come by Greg, and Greg looks like a heavy frost because I just peppered him. So this is for you guys. But can we move beyond, is Preacher Mark going to be long today? Is Preacher Mark going to be soft today? Is he going to be quiet today? Is Brother Scott going to sing that same boring song? Is Brother Scott going, we need to move beyond all of that. Honestly, can we not just move beyond all of that? Brother Chris asked me this morning. He texted me and he texted me. And then he texted me again. And then when he got done with that, he texted me again. I said, Brother Chris, I said, I'm set. He's wanting to know if I was settled. I said, I'm settled. Tell me what it is. I don't tell you. You can find out after the service. He was picking my bones a little bit. He was messing with me. I said, Brother Chris, I'm so settled. I think about just preaching during the Sunday school hour and just let it carry right on over into the worship. You know what that would have been, Brother Varun? That would have been stopping to worry about how it's all going to fit in. That would have been moving beyond all of the stuff, the mechanics of it all, and just preaching. But anyway, let's keep looking here really quickly. Verse number 2, 3, and 4 said, Moses said, I will turn and I will see the great sight why this bush is not burned. And the Lord saw that he turned aside, and God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. But God, instead of focusing on the mechanics of the bush, shouldn't we focus on the master of the bush? Don't the Bible say that many people followed him in his earthly ministry whenever he was feeding the 5,000 and he was breaking bread, taking a little person's lunch. And man, the faith of that little boy to give up his lunch bucket to feed 5,000 plus the men and women, the women and children. But they followed him not because of who he was. This is the God man. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. Brother Derek, this is the one that Isaiah said would come. This is the one that Micah had prophesied would be born in Bethlehem. This is the one that was referenced in Genesis chapter 3 in verse number 15 as being the one that would destroy Satan. See, they didn't see that. They said, this is the one with the bread. Let's go follow him. He's got the good stuff. When we perish, he's got bread. When we're hungry, he's got bread. When we're thirsty, he'll give us water that we never thirst again. They just followed him for the stuff. They followed him for what they can get from him. Are we not in a latter-day church? Are we not in a latter-day church, HBJ, where people just come to kind of see what they can get out of it? I'm afraid we are. Shouldn't we then focus on the master rather than the master's supply? Shouldn't we focus? He just looks over there. Moses said, I want to find out why this bush is not burned up. How would it have been whenever it was later on? Because look what it said. Moses looked to see the bush, and then God spoke to him out of the midst of the bush. I'll get these two and roll them into one. It's not just the master of the bush, but bless God, it's the message that's coming out of the master's mouth of the bush. He said, Moses, I got a work for you to do. Read down in the next few verses. I didn't read it in the open, but I'm going to read. Go beyond verse number 6. And here's where the Lord starts to speak. He calls him and says, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he says, take off your shoes, for the feet where you're standing is holy ground. And here comes the message of the master. Verse number 7, the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry. By reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, and unto land flowing with milk and honey. And the place where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, here's the call. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I come full circle to tell you this. Are you okay with mediocrity? Y'all know what mediocrity is. I'm not using big words to try to impress somebody, but y'all know what mediocrity is. It's the norm. It's the status quo. It is the whatever comes and whatever goes. We're just coming in haphazardly. We stumble through here. We stumble in here. We stumble out here. And we just go through it. Are y'all okay with that? As your pastor, I'm surely not. Brother Scott, we know what to do. We know how to act. We know what to say. We know the buttons to push. Get up here and get Brother John to clapping real good and get two or three, get a Mary Doris to shout hallelujah, wave your hands, and the next thing you know, man, we got a good service. Is that what constitutes a good service? I don't think so. I don't think that having a good service is something that we work up. I don't think it's something that we conjure up anyway. I think it's something that we get along with God long before we ever get here, long before we ever get with this people and get in this mixed multitude. It starts in prayer in our closet. And he said, and when you have entered in, what did he say? He said to shut the door, close the door. But we're all now making sure that the stream is just right. We got the Facebook stream right. We don't need any glitches in our Facebook stream. We don't need any problems in our streaming. We're going live. We don't want to mess that up. We'd be better off, Brother John, closing the door, getting along with God instead of trying to work something up. How about praying something down? We could go through here. We're talking about fire in the bush. The Bible didn't say that Elijah conjured something up after he slew the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, did it not? He said he put the wood in order, poured the water on it again and again and again. Then what'd he do? He called down the fire. He prayed it down from heaven on high. And the water fell from the fire fell from heaven, come up and didn't just burn up the sacrifice, Brother John, burn up the altar. and even licked up the water that was in the trench. I'm afraid in the latter day that we're just kind of, I guess satisfied would be a good word to use there. We're just kind of satisfied. We're kind of rocked to sleep. We're all okay. Got plenty of money in the bank. Got everything going good. We got good numbers, good attendance. Brother Scott introduces us a new song every now and again. The youth choir sings good. Got good numbers when we have an outreach. We got good numbers at the corn maze. We got good numbers at the fellowship. We got good numbers on mind, soul, and body. We got good numbers, Brother Dan. Everything's just okay. Do you realize okay makes God sick? Do you not realize that just being okay repulses God to the point that he said, I'm sick of that. Miss Macy, come down, honey. Miss Joe, if you want to come, Brother Scott, I'm done. Are we to that point now? In the church age of 2019, is that where we're at? That we really don't want a master to call. We don't really want to have an encounter. We really don't need to see him. As long as we come in to do what we do and he leaves us alone, we'll leave him alone. Everything will be okay. Is that what this is about? I'm afraid not. I would to God that we'd all have a mountain moving experience, a burning bush experience. One of those just, I don't know, I can't explain it. I've heard some of my preacher friends say that, man, God dropped a Holy Ghost bomb in there today. I know what he's saying. He means God showed up. My spirit's not a bomb. He's bigger than a bomb. But you know what I'm saying? How do you explain it? You'll find yourself like the blind man. If you really get an encounter like Moses did, if you really get encouraged, if you really get helped, everybody kept coming to him. Who did sin that this man was born blind? Did his mama? Did his daddy? How did you go from being a total blind man to having full restoration of sight? Explain yourself. That poor man, he's about like the rest of us. I don't know. I don't know who did sin that I was born blind. I can't tell you. You've seen me my whole life. Somebody's always having to wait after me hand and foot because I couldn't see. All I know was I was blind, but now I see. Is that not the story of every child of God? Is that not our collective story that we were in the bondage of the taskmasters of Satan's minions and the demons and devils of hell? That was us. We were blind and we could not see. And bless God, God sent a deliverer and we got called out of the bondage and he gave us the deliverer by the name of Jesus. And now we're just satisfied with commonality. We'll just go to church. Everything will be all right. It ain't never bothered me before. The Lord didn't bother me the last time I was there. I sit in the same pew. I've sat in for the last 30 years. Nothing's ever bothered me there. I'll just sit right there where I've always sat. I'm afraid that's where we're at. As we stand, Brother Scott's got us a song today. Maybe God's calling you to salvation. Maybe God's calling you to service. But I tell you one thing, he's not calling you to sit there. He's not. Did God ever call anybody, save anybody, and just say, sit over there? No. He said, occupy till I come. Do business. Work. Do something. We just kind of come and go. Maybe he's calling you to salvation. If you're here today and you're lost, I know that it is God's will. You hear me today? It is God's will. It is God's will that you be saved. I promise you that. I can show you in his book that God is not willing, or it is not his will that any should perish, but that all would simply come to repentance. But maybe he's called you to something else. Maybe it's not a call to salvation. Maybe it's a call to servitude. Maybe it's a call to something else. As we